I'm Tommy Gimler. Game 7 of the NBA Finals was the highest rated game ever on ABC. An 18.9 overnight rating peaked with a 25.5 overnight rating from 10:30 to 10:45 Eastern. And it's got to also be one of the highest scripted shows of all time.
Yes, seriously, no doubt. I'm Brady Matthews, and the Chicago Bulls got rid of Derrick Rose. Thank God, but we still have Tony Snell.
Thank God.
And I'm Adam Ferberg. Today, Chris Mortensen won a major award from the Pro Football Writers Association of America, crediting his journalistic excellence, proving once again that if you want to break stories like Deflategate, don't bother checking facts. Just make sure it goes super viral.
And they missed us this year.
Yeah.
But I feel it. We're this close. We're this close to going home with something. We'll have Adam Ferberg
write. Make up some bullshit, and we're good.
The Daily Upper-Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys. Welcome back. We missed you guys last week. It was you were on the road. You were in Plano, Texas. Brady Matthews in Plano. Is that where you're from?
That's where I was getting a little R&R with the family.
Get out of here.
No, I went to high school in Plano.
In Plano? And
is that the new hilarious. Hyenas?
Actually, I did see that, the new Hyenas.
Yeah.
I didn't do any stand-up. I just kind of
the Plano Hyenas?
Yeah. I don't know where it
That's
is.
It's actually terrifying.
No, it's a comedy club. Yeah, you're thinking.
I thought it was like. I thought it was.
Were you thinking like an arena football team?
Correct. Yeah. I thought it was like.
It's the new lingerie football team.
Yeah, seriously, we have a lot of deep bets going on.
The Hyenas. You know? Yeah.
Is it a rowdy crowd? I just got fucking killed at the Hyena tonight.
You know what? You know what? It's a crowd that still smokes cigarettes. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rowdy,
that's
drunken
my kind
punk.
Of crowd.
Yeah.
Like, they'll tailgate in the parking lot. I'm not kidding you. Like, people will drink before they come into the show.
Do they have a bowling alley in the back room where you have to keep your own score on the paper and stuff?
No, but I do believe there's a dueling pianos right across the way.
There is. Of course. So, actually, there is a piano bar.
Yeah.
All right, so he was in Plano, and we talked about this. You had to make a choice last week.
I did, yeah. Tuesday night was the one night where I didn't have a show, and I always have to make sure that I spend at least one night with the girl so she doesn't leave me.
Right.
Which I think is it's a fair thing, but that was it. I had shows all last week.
It is. Sean and I, you know, T-Sean, the fabulous T-Sean and I came up with the comparison that, you know, was either flappers or your girlfriend's flapper. One of the two. Sometimes you got to choose the girlfriend's flapper over the flapper stage. Yeah, exactly.
Something goes flap, flap.
Well, welcome back, guys. We have a jam-packed show. A lot of athletes getting arrested. It's summer, baby.
Yes.
It's getting hot. Yeah. People don't know how to handle themselves. The meth just seems to do something real stupid. The hotter it gets, the more humid. I think it's the humidity in the meth, man.
Yeah.
Something.
It's great.
It's flaca now. That's new stuff. Flaca.
That's
Maybe that's what they're fucking with.
God, thank God you went home to Plano. Otherwise, you never would have known that. It's crazy.
I tell you, I learn something new every time I go to Texas.
They're selling it outside of the Hyena.
Yeah.
The Flaca.
Yeah, it's in the parking lot. You get a free Bud Light and an ounce of Flaca.
That's how you get the best crowd. Just super into the show.
Quick update on our poll that we came up with last week. What should be the name of the new NHL team in Las Vegas? Your choices were the Las Vegas Overdose, the Las Vegas Beer Shits, the Las Vegas Clickers, the Las Vegas Coke Benders, the Las Vegas $38 Cum Dumpsters, the Las Vegas Shame, or the Las Vegas, I know I should have taken a hit, now just shut the fuck up and deal the fucking cards, you pricks. And the leader right now at dailyupperdecker.com, it's a close one, but with 5 votes, the Las Vegas $38
wow.
Cum Dumpsters.
Nice.
Wow.
The Cum Dumpster's always going to be a winning vote. I would have predicted that.
I voted for the Las Vegas Overdose.
I would have submitted the Las Vegas DraftKings. I think that that's going to be a legitimate. Like, the day that ads end up on American pro sports jerseys, that's going to be the first one.
I thought it'd be Las Vegas shit in your hotel trash can. Because who hasn't done that?
We'll see if anybody wrote that in. Again, you can go that poll is going to be up on dailyupperdecker.com for the next 2 days. 15 votes so far.
Wow.
15 votes. It's decent.
Yeah.
Get usually them in, fellas.
Usually people piss their pants before they make it to the dud poll, so this is pretty good. In second place, the Las Vegas Shame.
Shame.
So. I like that one. I like that one because it harkens back to one of the best scenes in Game of Thrones. You just have naked Cersei Lannister on the jersey.
Shame.
She's the mascot for the team.
Shame. I must have watched that in slow motion, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
At least 5 times.
Which I found out later, it's a body double. And her
it
face
is a body double,
put
yeah.
on the body.
Get the fuck out of
digitally,
here.
Digitally, yeah.
That just ruins the whole moment.
Now you
shame on them for doing that.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was her body, but what do I know?
No.
God damn that show.
The Hot Mess. Hot Mess. Game 7 in the NBA Finals. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was all right.
The weirdest thing for me was like the last, like from minute 4 down to about 1.5 when Kyrie Irving sunk that shot. There wasn't any scoring.
Right.
There was a solid almost 5-minute period where there wasn't scoring.
Well, yeah. that was huge if you had the under. Good work, Barry.
I was most surprised by people saying that if Draymond Green played in Game 5, that they would have won the series. But he had his best game in Game 7.
Right.
He had his best game of the whole series, mm-hmm. and they still got smoked.
Well, they were just – everybody on that court was gassed because if you look, nobody was coming out. They talked about it at halftime, too. If you paid attention, you were betting on the game. They were talking and they were kind of giving you hints like, hey, nobody's coming out of this game. Well, they played how many games now this year?
Right.
It's the NBA postseason, so they probably played about 345 games this year now.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
They're – you know, they were gassed. Seven. That's what it was. I mean, and after Kyrie Irving hit that shot, it was amazing. But then when they came back down the floor, you saw Steph Curry just kind of throw up. And normally, like, you're not going to yell at Steph Curry for just throwing up a three-pointer because odds are it's going to go in.
Yeah, but you know
it was a really quick shot, a really bad miss. And at that point, I think they were done.
It just didn't seem like if you're trying to pump up some offense, why are you just cranking up shots just to
– Well, that is their offense.
I don't know. If I'm Steve Kerr, I'm going to be like, hey, I understand that worked when, you know, things are jamming, but let's get some fucking offense going. And don't just start chucking them up from the fucking sidelines. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well, I think exhaustion played a role, but this was an interesting stat that I saw because the Warriors won 73 games and then lost in the finals. Now, every major sport, the regular season team wins record holder has not claimed the championship across all the sports. The Red Wings in 96 didn't even make the final. The Patriots lost in 2007 in the
when
Super
they were
Bowl.
16-0, yeah.
The mm-hmm. Warriors lost, and then in baseball, won
the Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners didn't even make the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I was there when they lost.
Really? You David were there Justice game six?
Hit, yeah. When David Justice
hit the home run, I remember that.
Seventh inning bomb. It was one of the greatest moments, sports moments I've ever seen live, man. Yeah, I mean, there might have been unplanned pregnancies like going down in the bleachers at that point.
And miscarriages at the same time. Just
exactly.
Way too much emotion.
So back to the basketball game. Remember, Brady, we did 2 weeks ago, we did a podcast, mm-hmm. and you asked – it seems it could have been like 3 months with the way the NBA postseason
sure.
goes. You know? So it could have been 3 months ago, but I think it was 2 weeks ago, right before it started. You asked me, who do you think is going to win? And I said, well, if it's fixed, LeBron and the Cavs will win.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better script than that. You go down 3-1 and then, you know, the whole like, you know, nut shot. And if you watched, I thought it was interesting that everyone on the Warriors were just taking shots at LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, here's the best player in the game, arguably the best player in the game. And, like, no one ever would have done that to Jordan.
Right.
But everyone's just sitting there taking shots at him up at the podium, and he just laughed it off.
Right.
Well, also, people perceive him as soft. They've always have. Like, that's always, like, the thing against LeBron. And you never would have heard that against Michael. But Michael's also known for being a huge prick. So no one would ever say that. So,
but to be the best, you have to be a huge prick. And I hate to say it, but... you're not going to get everyone's respect.
Yeah.
You don't have to like me, but you have to respect me. And the thing with LeBron is that's kind of how he plays. But also, he played lights out. He played like a man amongst boys in those last couple of games. But I was like, where was this?
Well,
the
he turned
time?
Into a prick. He got a nut shot. If there's one thing that everybody should know is you don't hit a grown man in the balls because you awake a sleeping
especially LeBron James. Yeah.
You awake a sleeping giant. Do you think that's the same in stand-up comedy? Are the best stand-up comics pricks?
100%.
All right, so let's think about like who's at the top of their game. Like, what makes them the prick?
I think they just demand to be recognized as the best. I can name a couple guys right off the top of my head, but I probably won't.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that, but I mean, like,
they demand, you know, to get the great spots, and they demand to be put in the best shows and. And that's it. And they don't give a fuck if they're hurting your feelings or if they step on your toes. They don't give a fuck because they want to make it.
Is that why I haven't done it yet? Because I'm a nice guy? I'm not a prick. Like, I'm always like a happy-go-lucky guy when I'm at the comedy club.
I feel like
unfortunately, the good guys in comedy don't really rise to the top, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the reason why I'm at where I'm at. So who knows?
You don't think at all there's no exceptions to that?
I don't know. I mean, kind of yes and no. I mean, like, look at Theo Von. He's a great fucking guy, and mm-hmm. he's a really funny comic. So
right.
I think also it comes down to you got to be pretty fucking funny, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, no, he
but you can
it.
Be – there's some guys that are not that funny, but they're total pricks. And I can name one guy in particular, but I won't. And he's on – he just got cast on a new show. He's mm-hmm. got a pretty popular podcast. He's got, like – you know,
I know who you're talking yeah, you about. The, all you, right, all right, do, I know you.
You do the fucking math.
That doesn't last, though, because eventually people will have to
stand
you.
Unfortunately, it does. No, it is.
I'm going to try right now. I'm going to go, as soon as we're done with the podcast, I'm going down to the improv. I'm going to be like, I'm Tommy Gimmer. Put me up.
Yeah. I think eventually, because everyone starts, like, someone's star ascends to a certain point, and then it diminishes.
Right.
And when it starts to fall, and you need people's help, they don't want to help pricks, and you go away, and hopefully, right, that maybe that person might be able to coach it. They don't piss their money
I
away.
Wouldn't say, you know what, I wouldn't say he's a prick. I would say he kisses ass and gives reach arounds really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the best hand jobs on the planet.
Yeah, I don't know anything about reach arounds.
Well, speaking of big-time dicks, let's move on here in the hot mess. Stephen A. Smith. So I thought that this is great. Like, we have been Stephen A. Smith haters from day one.
I hate his guts.
He's unbelievably annoying, utterly preposterous with his predictions.
But that's his job.
He's so boisterous and over the top. And
right, well, so if you're the network's, you know, NBA expert.
Right.
Every now and then you got to come up with the right prediction. So now this is, since 2011, since the 2010-11 NBA Finals, since when it got narrowed down to two teams, this wasn't even like at the beginning of the season, Stephen A., tell us who's going to be the champion. I like LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. This is when he got down, this is when it got down to two teams. You got a 50-50 shot. And he's 0-6 since 2011. There's a great video on the Daily Upper Decker. If you go to dailyupperdecker.com, find us on Facebook, Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, also on The Vine. You can see the video. Someone put together like all of his predictions with him and that other shit dick, Skip Bayless. So he's on there and he's like, and it's so great. Like it goes from like, I do believe the Miami Heat pull it out probably 7 games. And all of a sudden you hear, the Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions.
Yeah. That was great. A great night.
It's
that was
so
a great
amazing.
Night. But so he's not saying this at the beginning of the playoffs or the beginning of the season.
The
he's
beginning
saying
of
this
the NBA
at the finals.
So you've got a 50-50 shot.
Wow.
He's 0-6 since 2011. That's terrible.
But I think when you talk about like what the network thinks of this guy, I don't even think they care about his journalistic credibility. They need a
firecracker. Well, of course not. He's still employed there.
Right, but it's almost like Ann Coulter. Like her job is to say wacky ass shit and be that punching bag, be that lightning rod, so that when Fox News puts her up,
it's 2016. You can't say she's a punching bag. That's just it promotes domestic violence. We can't have that. We might have to go back and Rakesh. We need to edit that out. He says we're good this time, as long as we address it.
All right, Women's League of America. Right. I'll speak at your next event. He has to be that person. That's why, like, because it's not even like one of the guys on that show was an idiot. Both of the guys on that show were fucking morons, and the other guy did so well that he got a bigger contract to go somewhere else. Yeah, Skip Bayless is getting more money to be their idiot, and that's what the name of the First Take is, a show about watching two people say stupid shit for an hour, so you get to tweet about it all day.
Right. Well, and I think what was so crazy is in that time frame from when Stephen A. Smith was paired up with Skip Bayless, they must have gone through at least a half dozen hosts.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee each host that came through was like, get me the fuck out of here. I will go back to begging groceries next to that retarded kid at Ralph's. I don't need this.
Now,
I feel like that's where I'm at.
How many hosts were there at that show?
I think at least six. Crazy.
Can I nominate someone to go in for Skip Bayless?
Sure.
Yeah. Jay Mariotti.
He was the host.
Yeah, and then he decided to show his wiener on fucking Facebook or something.
It was like some kind of sexual assault charge.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking of Jay.
He's
the
piece
guy,
of shit,
Jay.
Too.
So Jay Mariotti, he was the guy.
Oh, you're
was
thinking
on
of Jay Crawford?
Jay Crawford. No, Jay Mariotti was the guy on Around the Horn, right? And he and Ozzie Guillen used to get into fights all the time in Chicago.
Yeah, because he was a beat writer for Chicago.
Right, yeah. And he would just say the nasty, he would say mean shit about
Ozzie. Well, he was also really, really awful to women, too, I guess, right?
I think it was 2011. He got
hit
with
a drinking problem and a coke problem, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. You guy could have told you that looking at his face.
That guy's got a ton
but
of
But
problems.
Look at what's his face, the guy that dressed up as a crossdresser and Marv Albert. And now he's still – listen, Isn't it funny how people just forget?
Right.
People just forget. So bring
back
Jay Mariotti.
When you have a voice like Butter.
I like only here. Only here.
Your voice is the soothing sound of yes.
And
yes,
it counts. And it counts.
Like, you're going to get
I grew up on Marv Albert. When they told me he cross-dressed, I went, so what?
Yeah. You know what
good
that
for
means?
You. Sometimes
now I accept.
You ever wear no underwear with a dress? I did once for Halloween. It's awesome.
if you want great. If you want amazing, amazing literature, it should have won like a Pulitzer Prize. The Marv Albert trial, like the transcript.
Oh, really?
It is unbelievable. You can go to Daily Upper Decker, Google Marv, or just search for Marv Albert on Daily Upper Decker.
Nice.
And I've got like the transcript on there. It is just a pure entertainment.
Doesn't
if
he
your
bite,
party
doesn't he
sucks,
bite a chick too?
In the back, yeah.
That's
so
what got him in trouble. See, he bit her.
He called. Well, first he called somebody up to like the front desk clerk up to his room, and he like propped the door open with the deadbolt.
Yeah.
Propped it open. She came in and she was like, Mr. Albert walked in and he came out of the bathroom wearing women's panties and then said something to her. And then she like tried to run and get the hell out of there. That's an image like you never want. Marv like, Albert walking around.
She's running down the hallway. Yes. Come back.
Driving down the lane.
She does not like my boner on these small ass panties. No.
And the rejection.
Rejection. Probably going to jail. Yes.
So good.
Look at this LeBron speech. LeBron speech where he's
of course they have championships.
He drops the F word left and right.
That's a true champion right there. True champion. We were talking about that Jordan. Jordan never dropped an F-bomb during the speech. Only when he was gambling in high-stakes poker games off the court. That's the only time he would
ever
curse.
Got his father killed. Yeah, he'd probably drop an F-bomb then.
So that's the deal with Stephen A. Smith. And then, so like last night, I'm driving around and they've got Stephen A. on ESPN Radio because now immediately, and this is how stupid like guys like Stephen A. Smith are. So if the league is really rigged, then that would mean like the off season is rigged as well.
Sure.
And when you hear shit 24 hours, less than 24 hours after LeBron James won a championship in Cleveland, that Stephen A. Smith gets on the air and he's like, my sources tell me that there is a very good chance that LeBron James ends up on the Lakers.
Yeah, dude. Like, get the fuck out of here.
What?
I guarantee he stays for one more season. You know, I wouldn't doubt if he finishes his rest of time in Cleveland. But I know the Lakers are going to get a big-time free agent. But don't just start pulling shit out like that out of your ass, buddy.
You might want
who are your sources, huh?
You might not want to like include your 7-Eleven salesman as your source anymore because that's some bad shit.
Well, also, I remember the you don't want to make an enemy out of me. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
I loved that. That was so... I felt like, you know how like they send like Al-Qaeda and ISIS send videotapes and like they say like, horrible things. Like we should just send Stephen A. Smith like on video to terrorist organizations and just say, I'm going to say it again. Like that was so
stupid.
That was not a journalist. That was an arch villain of a Bond movie.
Well, again, so what he's doing is the ESPN thing.
You comment on sports, you pussy dick.
Just
relax.
Report. Just don't create the stories.
Don't make it personal.
It.
Yeah, like, why did it get personal
He said before the LeBron thing, he goes, I swear, quote me, Skip, now that the season's over, he goes, Kevin Durant will be a Los Angeles Laker. And you're like,
which if he does that, he's a
why would you say that?
Yeah. He's an idiot.
It is utterly preposterous if he comes
utterly
back.
Utterly preposterous.
But frankly, I don't understand what he's been in OKC, why he's been in OKC so long. When are you going to step up and be the big-time city champion you need to be? Kevin Durant will be a Los Angeles Lake.
The NBA is not about big cities anymore. It hasn't been for years.
Right. Well, I mean, it's you still want a team like the Knicks, the Lakers, whatever. But it's like here's a point that like he just totally skipped over. So in the past off seasons, when you see LeBron, he's like doing some pretty gay shit, like hopping on a banana boat with Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and you know whoever else down in like Florida, right? Yeah. So like if he's going to any team in Los Angeles, why wouldn't he be going to the Clippers?
Who would be winning?
But again, who would already know less than 24 hours after winning the NBA championship that they're not going to be back in Cleveland again? And that's why it's so asinine. But that's honestly what sports coverage has become. I think in like sports, like in the NBA, and sometimes you know to a degree like the Major League Baseball as well, the off season has become more of a story than like what actually happens on the court or on the diamond.
Of course.
Where football, I mean, yeah, everyone loves to read about the rapes and, like, you know, the free agency. Everyone likes to read about that.
Is Johnny Manziel dead
it's
yet?
Still, yeah, you know, again, somebody, yeah, a hit and run, involved in a hit and run. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, those stories are all fine and dandy, and the NFL does a good job of, like, you know, staying relevant in the offseason by creating these stories. But it's still Sunday afternoon is just king. And what happens on the diamond is what the story is all about. I feel like in the NBA, that's why they do it right away, that they create these off-season
soap opera.
Like, right. I think Stephen A. Smith yesterday on ESPN Radio named like five different teams. My sources tell me that he could go to the Golden State Warriors, stay in Oklahoma City, possibly go to the Knicks, maybe the Lakers.
Maybe a big trade with the Celtics. I don't know.
What kind of a source lists five possible? That's not a good source. That's just a guy making a guess.
Okay, so with all that aside, who is your pick to win? Because I don't think the Cavs can go back to back. Do you?
I do.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's actually a decent pick to make because
who else is going to challenge them in the East?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think if the Warriors do get, say, Dirk Nowitzki, which I saw that the other day, mm-hmm. or they get
really,
yeah,
so you think he'd leave Dallas?
I don't think so. But if you want to get one more ring, why not? Yeah. Plus, he can opt out of his contract.
Yeah, he's a German.
So, yeah, I mean, also, if you can get a Kevin Durant besides Dirk Nowitzki, mm-hmm. I mean, the Warriors really, if they got one more guy that's just a fucking lights-out shooter.
And it was a guy who they don't have.
I truly think they could do it again. But I don't know. Did you see Manu Ginobili is going to test free agency? The guy's 38 years old.
I'm surprised that he's testing anything.
38 years old?
Much less free agency.
He should be checking out a retirement clinic.
Yeah, exactly. He should be testing one of those Florida
communities. Like, test out the banana boat. Go try out the banana boat.
Just go to the doctor. Totally. Get a test that way.
His hair, dude, his hairline is going to be at the bottom of his neck by the end of the, by the time he's 40.
So if I'm LeBron, I'm staying right in Cleveland because that's my best shot. Now, I just honestly don't think there's any other team in the East that's going to challenge him. Like, Kevin Love's not going anywhere. Kyrie Irving's not going anywhere. That
I don't
is
know. Kevin Love might be going somewhere.
There's no way.
I don't know. He didn't really do anything for them. What did he do?
Well, I think he had a pretty good finals.
Isn't that why he would go somewhere? Is because he didn't really contribute?
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you think he's gone?
I think he's gone.
He's gone. Okay.
So if he leaves, if Kevin Love leaves, then odds are then they bring somebody else in. That means they'll have money to bring somebody else in, so they'll get that third piece.
Right.
Like, moving on in the hot mess here, there was the big trade today was the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls. And the New York Knicks are picking up Derrick Rose, and then they shipped Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, and Jerrion Grant.
Yeah.
Former Bulls great Horace Grant's nephew.
Yeah, see, I love Grant. I mean, that's great. Is that screwing you up? That's my dog drinking water.
No, it's great. That adds. It adds like it's the environment. Like, you know,
we're in a real place.
It's super authentic podcasting.
Coming to you live from the Los Angeles Zoo. Yeah. The old zoo. Yeah.
That's Rhino.
The dog park.
Yeah. No, I like the trade. In fact, that we got rid of Derrick Rose because he is honestly a hangnail away from hanging up his shoes because
they called me
it's sad because he's Anthony Hardaway. He's Grant Hill. He's now in the class with those guys of what could have been. And then you go ahead and get Robin Lopez, who's the weaker of the two Lopez brothers.
Right.
And then you get fucking what's his face?
Jerrion Grant.
No, the other guy, the white guy.
Justin Holliday.
No,
Jose Calderon.
Yeah, Calderon.
Okay, all right,
Calderon. The guy's garbage, Calderon, dude. The guy is so garbage. So
I don't think he's white. I don't know many white people who with the last name like Calderon.
I don't either.
Or
but
Sanchez.
I think the Bulls need to make another trade and get rid of Lopez and get rid of Calderon because keep Joakim Noah. Even though I think Joakim Noah is going to go to the Knicks.
Ah, he's going to the Knicks too.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
But I think like even with those trades, I just don't think that team challenges
anyone.
Anyway, like the Knicks, there were also like rumors that Dwight Howard was going to go there. Can you imagine that locker room? Dwight Howard, Derrick Rose, and Carmelo Anthony. Okay.
Failure.
So no. Well, it's just a bunch of guys that just play for money.
Correct.
Right.
Derrick Rose used to be so hungry to be the best basketball player in the NBA. He said, "I'll give my heart and soul to this team," and he goes, "I'll make sure that you know we get close to winning a championship."
Did.
He did, and then his body broke down, and then he said, "Shit, I want to make the most money I can possibly make," and that's what he said in his press conference last year. Mm-hmm. That as soon as the Bulls heard that, they said, You're gone.
I think
that doesn't work in Chicago.
When both your knees give out.
Of course, but you don't tell the media that you're going to play for more money. You're going to opt out of your contract to get more money.
Right.
Fine. See you fucking later, dude. Yeah. So now go play with Carmelo Anthony, who also did the same thing, and go ahead and get Dwight Howard too, because that guy's soft as fucking Kleenex. That guy's awful.
I forget who posted the picture, but it was like the last three Knicks who wore the number one. And they all don't play anymore. Or like,
do you remember who they were?
Well, I hope not. If they're all three guys wearing number one, they should be.
Amari Stoudemire?
And then two guys who I don't recognize, which I think is not bode well.
Sprewell.
Probably.
But I think like the big that's the big trade of the day, and it's a trade that really doesn't matter for people in Chicago. It does, because it's almost like, I think for the majority of people, it's Christmas come early, because people were over the
I was just over his bullshit. That's like that's like the Bears should have gotten rid of Jay Cutler fucking five seasons ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now we have Jimmy Butler, and they're talking about trading Jimmy Butler, and I'm like, for who?
Right.
That was another thing.
LeBron.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all the haters would be like, this is the greatest day of my life.
Kevin Durant.
Fine with me, dude.
But I think that, you know, at this point, like, nobody knows. And if you do know, then it's, again, leads to the whole conspiracy theory that this shit's all set weeks ahead of time.
Right.
Moving on to a sport that I don't think is fixed. At least I've never found proof. There aren't many conspiracy theories around. The NHL.
Ooh.
We're gonna quick talk about
that'd be hard to fix.
Listen, there was actually one big rumor before he got the job as the commissioner of the NHL. Gary Bettman used to work for David Stern at the NBA.
The NHL is fixed. Yeah, you heard it here first.
He knew that Bettman, because this was the 80s, early 90s, I think, when in the 80s, the NHL legitimately challenged the NBA as which one was more popular, because while Michael Jordan was driving up viewership and shoe deals, Wayne Gretzky was winning championships and was the no doubt most dominant player in terms of not only stats but also championships and titles. So because he was concerned that he might have lost ground to hockey, he nominated his most incompetent underling to become the commissioner of the league. And what happens, they undergo rules changes that remove offense, which kills guys like Gretzky and kills the league, and really defensive-minded teams win championships. And then they undergo not one but two lockouts.
I'm going to have to throw some X-Files like music underneath. Seriously?
Yeah, that was always a big rumor, I remember.
I think that's a great story.
Yeah.
And that's why people come to the Daily Upper Decker. Find us at dailyupperdecker.com, Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, also on The Vine. No, it's great. I'd never heard that story before. It's very entertaining.
Yes.
I wonder how would you fix the hockey game, though? Like, the goalies? Would that be the easiest way to fix a hockey game?
Probably. Well, yeah. Like, also, most of the star players are going to be the ones getting all the shots. Like, that's just where they're going to go. It's like you said about fixing football. If you get to the coach and the quarterback, the game's over.
Right.
So just get to the top line, and you're fine. Or the goalie, and you're fine.
Or you can get to Patrick Kane.
There you go.
Get to a guy like Patrick Kane.
Tell
and just say, hey, this is the way.
Every bun's the cab driver.
Man, that kid was on a tear. Dude.
So what a year for Patrick Kane. So at this time last year, well, probably coming up on a year, it's probably like at some point, again, it gets hot. The humidity combines with drugs and alcohol, and you do some stupid shit. It was coming up in this time a year ago where Patrick Kane was being accused of rape.
So then
it was like, hey, not only is he not going to, you know, be ready for the season, but he's not going to play. He's going to go to jail. Like, it seemed pretty, like, legit. Like, this was a legit threat or a legit claim.
Everyone was calling for his ass, dude. And then suddenly stuff got tampered with. And then the girl's mom wanted nothing to do with the whole case because she's the one that fucked with the packaging.
I'm sure that somewhere in the package was probably six figures worth of cash. But
from what I understand, they weren't paid off. They were legit trying to pull something off.
There was no settlement.
Really?
Like, charges were dropped because
everything was dropped.
Missing?
Yeah, they really disappeared from the whole case because they were just like, nothing. Nope. No, yeah, we don't.
Maybe.
Is that what rape is?
Right.
Oh no, no, then that didn't happen.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Right.
Anyway, now he's the league's most valuable player. He just won the Hart Trophy today. So,
did he really?
Yeah, he did. Wow. He's became the second U.S.-born player to win the award.
Yeah.
That's
only
it?
The second, yeah.
Behind Stan Mikita.
The NHL scoring
That's
champion,
that
Kane,
you know
27,
that.
Is the first Chicago player.
Yeah, but Stan Mikita was the first Chicago player.
The Hart Trophy since Stan Mikita in 1968.
That's right. Madonna never won anything.
Sidney Crosby finished second. Ah, Dallas's Jamie Benn was third.
Dallas had a good season this year. They were good. They should have gone to the finals, but they couldn't get out of the Western Conference Finals.
So the last guy to win as an American to win a Hart Trophy, Billy Birch in 1925.
Jesus,
the Roaring Twenties.
So it's just been all like Canadians and Russians and Czechoslovakians.
Right.
Wait, aren't Czechoslovakians?
Right. Czech Republicans. Can you say Czech Republicans? Yeah.
The Finnish won a couple.
So it's a Chicago. It's got to make you happy, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. We have another kid named Panarin. I'm sorry, with 30 goals.
Panera Bread. You got Panera Bread. Right?
He's sponsored by Panera.
He didn't even have to try. He chose to.
But this kid got Rookie of the Year. So we got Rookie of the Year, and then we got the MVP.
Player. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Jonathan Toews, and then go from there.
Nice. Yeah. So you're still set, and they're making deals, man. It's crazy. I'm telling you, like, dude, they are not taking.
I love summertime, but this is the saddest time because I only have one sport to watch, and it's baseball.
Now you got to hold that thought. Over, foreshadowing here at the Daily Upper Decker, coming up to Factor Fudge. That leads us to our Factor Fudge tonight. Yeah.
And I know, dude. I'm like a psychic. I know what I'm doing.
All right. So speaking of baseball, yeah, I'll take one too.
Oh,
speaking,
yes, please.
Speaking of baseball, we have a quick update from last week when we were talking. It was our Nutshot podcast, and Juan Uribe took a 106 mile per hour ground ball to his cock and balls. Right.
God.
So he said he wasn't wearing a cup because they don't make a cup big enough to fit him.
That doesn't surprise me.
And he's like, seriously, they don't. So
I've seen him swing the bat.
Big, thank you. Yeah,
he doesn't. He
in
can't
super
stay upright.
Slow mo, I've seen him swing.
Like
so,
Adrian Beltre, I think, has the same problem. Like he swings and he drops to his knee, probably because there's too much weight on one side.
The gravity.
Yeah, he's done that more than once.
So he missed three games after that.
Oh my God.
And then tonight, so then he came back, he hit a home run four games in a row. So again, so just like Draymond Green. Like awoke a sleeping giant in LeBron James by poking him in the nards.
Right.
The same thing happened to Juan Uribe because he was just having kind of like an average Juan Uribe season.
Right.
Then he got drilled in the nuts with a 106 mile per hour ground ball off the bat of Mike Trout. He hits a home run in four consecutive games.
That's amazing.
And then tonight he went 0-for-4 back to Juan Uribe. But I just thought it was outstanding that it was like, yo, woke somebody.
Right. Well, that's what you're talking about baseball. Like it's hard to assume if a fix is in with something like baseball. Mm-hmm. And it always comes down to the game themselves more than any other sport. I always felt like, I don't know, because all the sports have drama. Maybe hockey, not so much, but baseball, like almost every night, a record is set or something that's never been done before. A guy gets hit in the balls. It's a home run board. This is not. No one's doing shit off the field.
I'm sure four-letter had it somewhere on there. Like, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, Juan Uribe is the first player
first
to get,
hit home runs
get drilled in the
balls.
Jimmy. Yeah, and then hit four home runs. Four consecutive games with a home run.
I would love to see that 30 for 30.
Yeah. The day he got drilled in the ball.
30 nut shots, 30 home runs.
I love it. And it's good stuff. So that's just another update from last week's podcast.
Nice.
Now, before we get into everybody's favorite segment, The Pile, where we have attorney at law Brady Matthews pleading the case of numerous athletes this week who were arrested to the honorable Judge Ferberg. The last thing I want to talk about is the PFWA, which is the Professional Football Writers of America, giving their highest honor, which is the Dick McCann Award, to Chris Mortensen.
Nice. Yeah, we talked about that at the top of the show.
Correct. So that's basically like the award for journalistic integrity, journalistic excellence.
Right.
It's handed out for long and distinguished reporting on professional football.
Right.
So long reporting, yes, he's been in the game for a long time. 40 years. It's crazy. Like he's been reporting on football for a long time.
He's been on ESPN. It's like him and then the guy with like no hair on the back of his head. What's his name? John, I forget.
Oh, John Clayton.
John Clayton.
Right, John Clayton. Yeah, exactly. Looks like
someone that was my segment!
That's a great
Someone
commercial.
Took acid in the poor guy's face.
Poor guy.
And then beat the shit out of him with the pan.
He got a face sitting from Precious.
He kind of looks like Mr. Mackey from South Park, don't you think? Did you get that? Okay.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
John, how are things up in Seattle? Russell Wilson's got a hamstring, okay?
Yeah.
I'm always going to take that out.
Deflating footballs is bad.
So the long reporting on professional football I get, but the distinguished part is what I want to talk about. So if you don't remember, because this is literally a story that's dragged on now for almost...
It's still going, right?
What is it, like a year and a half now at this point? So
last Super Bowl.
Yeah, he tweeted after the AFC Championship game that 11 of the 12 Patriots footballs from that AFC Championship game were 2 pounds per square inch under the league mandated limit. And in May, the Ted Wells report came out, and he's really no better than Chris Mortensen. But in his report, it came out that only one of those footballs fit that criteria. Mm. And it was May, and Mortensen still left that tweet up all the way until August.
Right.
Until he finally took it down, and then he like ended up canceling an interview with like a Boston radio station because he knew he was going to get grilled. And he eventually told somebody else that, yeah, I probably should have done a better job vetting, which is like a better job explaining or a better job doing whatever.
Well, also, like, people make mistakes. Maybe he got a tip and he knew that this would be as big as it was and let it out.
So here's the thing. That tip, his source, it was revealed that his source was a former New York Jets employee whose dad used to be the team president. So that's his source. So if your source is arguably the Patriots' biggest rival, you know, like in your division, your biggest rival in your division, you might want to do your homework a little more.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Brady has ass cancer. I got to run with that.
Yeah.
He's the vice president of something.
I better put it out there before anyone else knows that I'm full of shit. Yeah.
I saw Tom Brady making out with Joe Torre at a New York bar. Run with it. Put it up. Sources.
Yeah,
Tom Brady, Joe Torre.
The New York Post.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I think in the world we live in now, and that's one thing I'll give him, and you're only as good as how quick you get that story out.
Right.
People want to come to you first on Twitter. You're their source. Like if you're following so-and-so on Twitter, you want them to break the news first so you can be the first one to tell all your friends or coworkers.
Right. It has nothing to do with, like, again, credibility. It's retweets and likes.
Right. Well, but that's
eyeballs.
So that's the craziest thing. I don't understand why he got the award, especially at this time. And you know, it was a lot like I compared it to Rafael Palmeiro. Back in 1999, won the AL Gold Glove at first base, despite the fact that he started 28 games at first base.
Did he really?
Otherwise, he was a DH. He won the Gold Glove.
Why?
So at that point, you were like, okay, this award is a farce. Why would you get that? So now, right now, I'm looking at the Dick McCann Award.
Okay.
I'm assuming Dick McCann was one hell of a guy, an honorable guy.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm looking at that. Like you're dragging his name through the mud, and I no longer look at the award as an honorable award.
Who else has won? Do you have a list of that?
Go ahead, talk about it, and I will bring it up on my trusty computer here.
Oh, how much of it has to do with, is it like an honorary Oscar or like a Best Supporting Actor award for like a guy in his 70s? You know what I mean? Like you've worked hard, you deserve it. You may not have put out the best performance, but you're also going to die soon.
Well, so that's the thing. So he's suffering from throat cancer right now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's like, he's been out of the game for a while now. So is that what it is? Like
that's
an almost
totally
like an honorary award?
That's totally what it is.
Well, that's sad. So Ed Bouchette, Dan Pompey, Tom Kowalski, Bob McGinn from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's a good guy. Peter King, Pete Finney, John Clayton. Ma! That was my
excitement.
John McClane, and the list goes on.
John McClane from Die Hard?
Nice, dude. That's nice.
And the Houston Chronicle. That's
his
he
left
game.
Off a building.
Like, relax, relax.
So I don't know. I look at that, and we talked about it today on Daily Upper Decker, that it would be like Donald Trump being honored by LA's, you know, Hispanic newspaper,
you know
La Opinion.
Right.
La Opinion.
For the advancement of Hispanics in
well,
America.
That's
right?
Funny. Remember way before Sterling was popped for all the nasty things about black people that he said, he was going to win the LA chapter NAACP award for the year.
For owning the best ghetto.
It was already announced. The ceremony was set. And then that story broke.
I love it.
So is it all awards? Like, do you just have to be like on your toes with all awards that they're really?
Well, it's like most things in life. People always wonder why some people ascend and some people don't. It's because the people who get that recognition made a lot of other people a lot of money.
Right.
That's what it came down to.
Well,
and Chris Mortensen has made a lot of people a lot of money. That tweet that you're talking about that was a complete farce. Made so many people so much money. You think the NFL wouldn't want a story like that?
They need a story
like that. That was the number one story in sports when there wasn't even a sport to play. That was ahead of baseball. Baseball has games that day. No one cared.
Right.
They wanted that. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. Your bullshit printed money for 6 months.
Well, speaking of money, You're gonna these next guys that we're gonna talk about here. They're gonna need a lot of money to pay for their defense.
And
from,
God knows,
attorney at law Brady Matthews.
I'm a dirty judge, so
dirty judge Ferberg waits. He awaits the latest list of athletes who are now pretty much convicts here in the pile.
The pile.
All right, first up here in the pile, you guys are gonna love this guy. It feels like we talked about him. It's pretty much. Maybe we shouldn't do the podcast up at Brady Matthews' pad in Hollywood anymore, because every time we're coming up here, I'll be like, first up in the pile, former Cowboys running back Joseph Randle. Right. Now, all right, things have gotten so bad for Joseph Randle. Like, I think the second time we did the podcast up here, I brought up Joseph Randle, and he stopped me. He's like, hey, wait, didn't we talk about this guy 2 weeks ago? We're like,
it's
yes,
the same story.
Yes. So he's been...
Wait, how is this guy not in jail?
No, so that's the thing.
Because he keeps getting arrested in Dallas.
No, he was just arrested in jail.
Oh, what?
So
shit.
That's how bad it's gotten. Like, you're in jail. What do you have to do to get arrested jail?
He's like the drunk tank in jail.
Randall, who was last heard from after being arrested for the sixth time in 17 months, will face a new felony charge of criminal threat. There was a deputy in one of the jail's detention pods shortly after 8 p.m. on May 14th enforcing the rules when Randall allegedly threatened the deputy for doing so.
What was the rule?
Specific details of the threat have not been released.
It might have been a nightstick up the bum, and like he was just protecting his asshole.
Well, are you going to defend him, or do you want Brady Matthews?
Okay. Oh, see, no, that's his.
I would maybe. What
that's his.
What, attorney at law, I would kind of maybe
I'm
use that
judge.
Defense. All right, so attorney at law Brady Matthews, defend your client Joseph Randle again.
Well, you know, the guy's under a lot of stress. He's in jail already, so he figured he can't get caught. Sometimes, you know, you get dared to do things you don't want to do. I mean, what else are you going to do in jail? You understand?
Right.
So it was probably he got dared by other guys, and they dared him for like a pack of cigarettes and Flocka, which is the new drug.
What cigarettes were they?
American Spirit. But
okay.
Yeah. But it was the green kind. It wasn't like the strong kind, like the blue kind.
Okay.
Yeah. So he got dared, and he got his hand caught in the cookie jar. And but he won't do it again because he's in solitary confinement.
Okay.
Ooh, all right. Judge Ferberg.
I sentence Joe Randle to one season guest starring on Orange is the New Black. I think
all right, I'll counter that. And can we put him on Ballers instead of Orange is the New Black?
He needs to get out of Orange is the New
Black. I feel like he would do really good on Ballers with Dwight Johnson.
Yes, he would.
Dwayne
but
Johnson.
Only after he serves his time on Orange is the New Black. He gets out, and then we make a crossover universe of Orange is the New Black and Ballers. And, we reinvent television.
Or we could go with Plan C. Put him in solitary confinement. And if he gets arrested
there,
then just let him out.
I totally agree. Because where are you going to go? What are you going
to
do?
I think that – is he supposed to arrest himself? Like he's playing the defense, the judge, and the jury?
Just open up
he's
his hand
doing
and arm
his,
is just all tangled up. Just arrest him.
He's doing his own version of the pile in his room right now. Like as far as he knows, he's running a podcast. He's the judge. He's the lawyer.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he ever gets out of jail – you know, he's
on the show.
He's primed to star for the running back or for as running back. He's primed to start as the running back for the Dallas Cowboys again with all these arrests. Like he's in line to be the number one guy there.
We were talking about like how I think the city of Dallas enables people to be pieces of shit when you play for the Cowboys. Remember when the first time they got arrested at the department store was for underpants, and the company that manufactured the underpants actually thought it would be funny if they hired him to be the spokesperson for the company. Like, this is so good, I'm willing to steal it, was like the premise of the ad.
Wow.
So no wonder why he ran over three people with his like Chrysler. Because it was like, maybe if I run over three people with my Chrysler, now I'll be doing ads for them.
Well, maybe he saw Suge Knight do it, and he was like, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't make enough people that much money. Suge Knight made a lot of people rich, so he got away with it for a long time.
All right, moving on here in the pile. Talk about, hey, Titus Young, I'll see you and raise you one. Former NFL receiver Devon Bess arrested after an Arizona standoff. So Devon Bess used to play for the Dolphins and then the Browns. Apparently, everybody who plays for the Browns eventually ends up getting arrested for something.
it's a football curse.
Yeah. It's a crime to play for the Browns.
So late Sunday night, he was being followed. He was spotted by police in Gilbert, Arizona, for not having his headlights on. So they, you know, threw the lights on to pull him over. So instead of stopping, he let him on a high-speed chase.
Jesus.
Rolled down the window and started putting his fingers out the air, like nice. The sign of a gun. You know, like he had, like, in,
oh, God.
In the shape of a gun, I should say. Started pointing him at the officer. And then, but instead of, like, pursuing him high speed, they let him go and just assumed that he was going to go back to his house. So sure shit, that's where he went. And he was in the driveway, and he was inside of his car. And then he, like, started brandishing a knife. And then got out, went inside, and it was like a couple hours long standoff with police.
Jesus.
Defend your client now, Brady Matthews.
Well, maybe he had to go to the bathroom really bad. You understand? You ever had to go to shit really bad, and your neighbor starts trying to talk to you, and you just start looking, like, you look at him like,
right.
I'll fuck it, like, knife. I'll cut you, but you won't because, you know.
He's got a knife. He must really have the shit. Let now, him go.
I think he probably had to go to the bathroom really bad. Didn't feel like letting them know that. He just ran into the house, looked like a lunatic. And it's not what you hear, it's what you see.
Uh-huh.
Right.
As they say. So, I mean, take it for what it is, but obviously it's a simple mistake.
Well, Judge Ferberg, it's time to see if your jails are overcrowded. Let's see.
I would have to see a reenactment of how the knife might apply to his using the restroom.
I think he yelled, "I'm making a sandwich," and then he ran into the house.
Well, I just thought, like, maybe the prunes weren't working, like, if, or, like, this was finally the moment where it's, you know, like, when the ketchup doesn't come out and you put a knife inside to make the ketchup come out?
Yeah.
It might have been a situation like that, which I
is
would have
is this the judge talking,
see,
or is this?
I would have to see in the courtroom. I can't decide just yet. This is a hung jury. Hung jury.
I think we have the, wrong defense attorney.
No, but I think this is good. It's a hung jury.
I think this guy knows exactly what he's talking about.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for fact or fudge.
Oh,
fact
man.
Or for fudge.
So today's fact or fudge question. Already we've talked about how, like, with the NBA finals and the NHL, you know, Stanley Cup finals coming to an end, basically the only sport on right now is baseball.
Right.
Major League Baseball. So I beg to differ. There's also minor league baseball, gentlemen.
Oh, I love
so
minor league
if
baseball.
You're asking yourself just what in the hell am I supposed to watch now, the answer is minor league baseball. It's in full swing. Most teams have played at least 70 games so far during the year. And if you look hard enough, you can probably find a place to bet on it.
Sure.
You might have, instead of Vegas, you might have to go to Prim, Henderson, my buddy Pete's basement, something like that. But you can find
there's
a place
action.
To bet on
And there's
it.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's definitely action on minor league baseball.
Right. All right, so here's the question of the day. You can play along with us live here on Facebook Live. You can play along with us. The question of the day, fact or fudge here on the Daily Upper Decker, is this the name of a minor league baseball team or an Urban Dictionary sex move?
This is going to be tough.
Or both.
It's totally possible this both.
It is.
There's totally possible.
Oh, so you're throwing us for a loop. So you're putting it or both?
Or both.
C.
Right.
Is there D, none of the above?
No. It's just a C. Just a C.
Fuck
all right.
Life.
Brady Matthews, you're the champion. Remember, you can each pull out, which means the other contestant.
No pun intended.
Yeah. No. Right. That means contestant has to answer the question.
Lot of rules.
If they get it right, they get the point. If not, you get the
way
right.
More rules than last time.
Here we go. Fact or fudge, live. Brady Matthews, comedian extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Is this the name of a minor league baseball team or an Urban Dictionary sex move or both? The Round Rock Express.
Baseball team.
That is correct. Just the baseball team. The Round Rock Express is the AAA affiliate for
that
the Texas
so
Rangers.
Easy. That's
well,
so
you're
easy.
A Rangers
I knew
fan.
That. That's
Herberg, you're a Rangers
Nolan
fan.
Ryan
fan. Yeah,
the
I don't
team.
Know.
In the Pacific Coast League. All right. Okay. So that AAA affiliate there. Okay. All right. So Brady Matthews, one. Adam Ferberg, zero. Moving on here in Factor Fudge, is this the name of a minor league baseball team,
okay.
An Urban Dictionary sex move, or both?
Let's hear it.
The Sacramento River Cats. Sacramento River Cats.
That's a baseball team.
That is incorrect because
No! They
are both. They
what?
Are both.
The River Cats?
What is a River Cat? Do I want to know?
No, it's actually called the Sacramento River Cats. That's the greatest part about these things, all right? So
it is a baseball team, right?
It is. Correct.
Okay, I was right about that. But it's also a sex move.
Yes, but you have to say both.
Okay,
all right.
Both. Okay.
So the Sacramento River Cats are the AAA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants, and it's also when you stick your nose in your lover's ass, draw whiskers on the inside of their cheeks, and then plunge your tongue into their ass. Now, if you're going to use that in a sentence, If you're going to use it in a sentence on UrbanDictionary.com, she was none too happy when she gave her when he gave her a Sacramento River Cat. She was none too happy when he gave her
a Sacramento River Cat. You know what this means is that the players for the Sacramento River Cats are known for doing this to chicks on the road.
They go to Old Town in Sacramento. Let's give her a River Cat.
No, that's not coincidental.
That's like slump busters. Right. I actually think that's a baseball team in Indiana.
Mark Grace played
the
for them.
Evansville slump busters. Yeah. That sounds like the home of a team of slump busters.
Racine.
All right, here we go. Portland Sea Dogs, minor league baseball team or an Urban Dictionary sex move or both?
Definitely a baseball team.
That is correct. It is just a baseball team.
It is the double-A affiliate
of the Boston Red Sox in the Eastern League. So that's two for Brady Matthews.
I knew that. This is Portland, Maine, too, right? It's Portland, Maine.
Correct. It's Portland, Maine.
Yeah, I know that. So it's a matter of knowing how fucking dirty my mind is to see if I can.
Yeah, my mind's pretty dirty. So.
Right, okay.
All right, let's see if you can get this one. So, two for Brady Matthews, zero for Adam Ferberg, and I'm winning. All right, here we go. Is this the name of a minor league baseball team or Urban Dictionary sex move or both?
Okay.
The Cincinnati Chili Dogs.
That's a sex move.
That is correct. Yes! It is only a sex move.
Yes. No, there is no minor league baseball
team.
But wait, isn't it? There should be.
Isn't it a Cincinnati Chili Dog?
Well, right, but I'm saying it as the Cincinnati Chili Dogs.
Not only, there's another loop. There's another loop to this shit.
I would have said baseball team.
Ooh, see, that's why.
I would have said baseball team.
No, because the minor league and major league teams aren't in the same city.
Now, I'll give you an extra point if you can tell me what the Cincinnati Chili Dog is.
I have no idea what
I can only imagine, dude.
Single Adam Ferberg would have told us what a Cincinnati Chili Dog is. The fact that he's got to go home to his girl tonight, then he's not going to mention what a Cincinnati Chili Dog is.
December 2014, Ferberg, definitely. Definitely would have had the answer and where to get it in Cincinnati.
All right. A Cincinnati Chili Dog is when a man shits on a girl's chest, then titty fucks her, generally used in Southwest Ohio. Used in a sentence? You guessed it. John gave Sarah a Cincinnati Chili Dog.
My God.
John is a dirty motherfucker.
Well, welcome back, Adam. Welcome back to this game of Fact or Fudge brought to you by DailyUpperDecker.com. Brady Matthews, reigning champion. You're up 2-1. Is this the name of a minor league baseball team or an Urban Dictionary sex move, or both? The Akron Rubber Ducks. Akron Rubber Ducks.
Just baseball team.
That is correct. That is unbelievable. I've given you three baseball teams.
I'm good.
Oh.
Yeah.
The minor league extraordinaire.
The question is,
artist, sports fan, and comedian, actor, and minor league baseball guru.
And in that order.
The question is, what would be a rubber duck if that was an actual sex move?
Correct. That's why I thought for sure it was one. We might have to get Andy Ostroff, Captain Fabulous.
How is Ostroff?
He's doing great, but we got to get him to put it up online. So the Rubber Ducks are the AA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians in the Eastern League. That's three for Brady Matthews. Adam Ferberg, this is huge. You need this one right here to continue the game. If you get it right, the game goes on. If not, Brady Matthews is once again
the
our Fact or Fudge champion. He knows what he's doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing.
Sex move on Urban Dictionary. Or a minor league baseball team.
Here we go.
The Montgomery Monkey Tails.
I'm going to go sex move.
100%.
That is correct.
Yes.
The Montgomery Monkey Tail is an Urban Dictionary sex move. It is when a gentleman, of course,
has a monocle and a cane.
When a gentleman chokes a woman at the time of orgasm, making the woman's anus tighten up, making things a whole lot better for the man. Used in a sentence or at least a conversation.
Wow.
Jerry, dude, I gave a girl a Montgomery monkey tail. Bob, dude, that's awesome.
I don't think Jerry or Bob are gentlemen. I think that's the lesson to learn.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, that might have been a conversation gentlemen, from jail.
First of all, don't choke women when they orgasm. And number two, don't start sentences with the word dude.
Dude. Right.
Randall from the Cowboys has used that before.
That's what got him in trouble in jail. He tried to give...
That's the rule that he broke. Right, okay.
No Montgomery monkey tails in this jail.
All right, here we go. Brady Matthews for the win. You get it right, you're the Fact or Fudge champion 3 weeks in a row. If you get it wrong, Adam Ferberg has a chance.
Bring it home.
Urban Dictionary sex move, minor league baseball team, or both. We are looking here at the Sheboygan Mudplows.
I'm going to say both.
That is incorrect. It is only an Urban Dictionary sex move.
But the Mudplows? I feel like that's a team.
Yeah,
the
it should be.
Yeah.
The mud, especially when you, the see, mud when you hear how disgusting
and Sheboygan?
It is. The Sheboygan Mudplow?
That sounds perfect.
That's how I met my wife.
I feel like I have. I got a beer koozie from there.
What state is Sheboygan in?
Wisconsin.
That's
okay. Once voted the best city in America to raise your family.
Seriously? When?
So here it is.
How the fuck do you know that?
Like 1990s? Well, I grew up in Wisconsin.
So raise your family. What is that?
Plano was named as a city like that, like an all-American
city. And then heroin.
Like, heroin. Like the next year, heroin totally
It was like
took
the best city
town.
To get shanked in after
right,
that.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
So here we go. The Sheboygan Mudplow is the act of taking a shit on the floor, then proceeding to fuck your partner from behind while her face is pushed through your shit on the floor.
Oh, how God. Can you put your dick inside of somebody whose face is in shit?
You'd be surprised. It gets cold in Alaska.
It's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin.
Oh, sorry, Wisconsin. It gets
it's
cold.
It's the act that they left out of making a murderer.
That's terrible.
Of course. Yeah, that's the evidence that was washed away.
Right.
So again, using a sentence, for the Sheboygan Mudplow here, using a sentence, did you hear what Ollie did last night? He gave
Ollie.
Nina the old Sheboygan Mudplow last night. She can't get the brown stain off her forehead.
Of course, his name is Ollie. Ollie would Sheboygan Mudplow every chick he's ever been with.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Adam Ferberg to stay alive. You
stay
get it
alive.
Right, we go to a tiebreaker. If you get it wrong, Brady Matthews is our reigning, our champion for the third week in a row.
Okay.
Here we go. Factor fudge. Urban Dictionary sex move, minor league baseball team, or both? The Beloit Snappers. The Beloit Snappers.
I'm going to go baseball team.
That is correct.
Yes!
It is just a baseball team. Yeah. It is the single A affiliate of the Oakland A's in the Midwest League. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Adam Ferberg, 3. Brady Matthews, 3. It's anybody's game, factor fudge. The way we're going to do the tiebreaker, first one to yell out the right answer wins.
All right, here we go.
All right? Got to yell out the right answer.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ready. You can tell by how I'm scratching my head.
The Pensacola Pickle Swings.
Sex move.
Sex move!
Yeah!
Sex move! It's just a sex move. Yeah! It's when a male in full
come
erect
from
status
behind when
lies prone on his back, pulls his erect penis down to touch his belly, then releases it, thus slapping the female in the forehead while she licks the man's taint.
God damn.
Oh, God.
Used in a sentence, shit homes. I totally gave that twat the Pensacola pickle swing
shit
last
homes.
Night.
Shit
homes. And got my junk tangled in her hair. Damn, that shit hurts. How about a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, for both of our contestants.
Yes.
All right. Hey, great job.
Thank you.
But your new Factor Fudge champion
God damn it.
Finally. Is the one and only Adam Ferber.
I needed a reason to come back, America,
and I did it again. What was our category last time?
It was quotes.
Oh, yeah,
it was Muhammad
quotes.
Ali or Yogi Berra.
Let's bring those back.
Or Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, that's right.
And believe it or not, it was not Yogi Berra who said one in the pink, two in the stink. Yeah, that's right. All right, we're done.
The Daily Up-a-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.